TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 106, Thursday, May 3rd, 2007. To the Media Centre Show with Orb Networks. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show, a slight deviation from Media Centre as Sean Alexander returns to the show to talk about Microsoft Silverlight and the announcements made at the NEB conference a few weeks ago and this week's Mix conference in Las Vegas. Silverlight includes some great cross-browser, cross-platform technologies, and it's all about delivering rich interactive applications over the web, including Microsoft Silverlight Streaming, a kind of free hosting service for Silverlight applications. So find out what all that means with Sean. I've got email into the show and some news items. So first to an email. Dear Ian, thanks for the show. I've been a dedicated listener on my commutes to from work since the early days of the show existence. I just wanted to point out that you've been talking about storing and retrieving recorded TV from a Media Center machine to a PC, and more recently a Windows Home Server PC. I know you've gotten this achieved, but it's a rather tricky method. I'm one on the Windows Home Server Beta Program 2, but I haven't gotten around to setting this up yet. I just wanted to point you in the direction of a new Gizmodo article. They're reporting on a recent event that Microsoft held in New York that they showcase MS Vision for eHome, which centered around Windows Home Server. And check out this image. It seems like HP have put some simple sharing service in for recorded TV, and I hope that gets into Windows Home Server standard. Keep up the good work, Dan. And Dan's included a couple of links in a blog on TechNet about the event, and one from the Gizmodo article, which shows a nice picture of some kind of HP synchronization software for recorded TV. So it's going to be interesting to see whether that does what a lot of people want to do with Windows Home Server, which is record directly to it and then use that as the source for all your media. I think the way that I'm going to be using it for me is I'm going to allow my Media Center PC to record to its local drive and then have kind of synchronization or a backup facility onto the Windows Home Server. So it'd be nice to see if all that is built in. And I'm sure that it's something that's been thought about already. At least HP seem to have thought about it anyway. So I'll keep you up to date if I find anything else about it. And like I said, Windows Home Server is working great for me. And I had an email on the Xbox 360 from Josh, and he says, "Hi Ian, I wondered if you leave your 360 on 24/7 for use as Media Center Extender. I just got my 360 last week and totally love it for games and the extender functionality. What I don't like though is how long it takes for the 360 to boot up and get to the extender interface. I'm nervous about leaving it on all the time, as so many people have experienced red rings of death. Do you think it's bad to leave it on all the time? And thanks, keep up the good work." Thanks for the email, Josh. I don't leave mine all the time, but I can't really see it being too much of an issue doing that. But I found if you start it up with the green button from the Media Center remote control, it just goes straight into Media Center, so you don't have to go through the dash and select Media Center. But I understand exactly what you're saying. Nowadays, everything's got to be instant on, hasn't it? And that sort of lag can be an issue. I can't imagine it being a problem. I think while it's in Media Center mode, it's not taking a lot of power, and you've not got the fans fired up like you have when the game's in. But I'd be interested to hear what any other listeners think. And thanks for all your email. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and there's an email form on the digitallifestyle.com front page. Please keep them coming. I do like reading them out. And if you've got any comments on any of the emails that I've read out, please send those in, and I'll make sure they get read out. Now for some items around the web. And this week I put out episode 4 of the digitallifestyle.com video show. This is the first in the series of video accompaniments that I'm going to be doing to my new book using Microsoft Windows Vista Media Center. And the first show is going to look at some settings used for recorded TV and how to optimize Media Center so that it doesn't fill your hard disk up with recordings, but you don't miss any of your favorite shows. The video is really aimed for for new users coming who haven't probably seen these settings, and also some of the experienced users that may have forgotten that they're in there. And as I said before, one of the things I've found when I was doing the book is you sort of find some hidden settings that that you've sort of forgotten about or not seen before. So check that out. It's a video is available in a high quality WMV file. It's available on MSN Soapbox and YouTube. And talking about my book, it's now shipping from Amazon. I noticed the other day that it's shipping now, so if you order it, you should be able to get your copy straight away. If anybody's ordered a copy of the book, please let me know. I'd love to know who's getting a hold of the book. Drop me an email, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I know there's been quite a few orders, so if any listeners have got one, please let me know. Oh, and I'll be doing a competition probably starting next week to give away a signed copy of the book, so listen out for that one. Also, on the digitallifestyle.com video show, also this week, Neil Ginsberg posted a video of his great new application, Big Screen Photos V2, and he posted it up on MSN Soapbox. It's a great looking application. Big Screen Photos V1 was written with Windows Presentation Foundation, which was a great looking application, but the V2 is actually written with Media Center Markup Language, and just really has that much better sort of Media Center finish to it. So it's definitely looking good. It's early days yet, but check out the video on Soapbox. And Neil Canley allowed me to host the high quality WMV version on the video on the digitallifestyle.com video show blog. So if you want to look at the high quality WMV version, you'll find a link for that in the show notes. There's a smaller WMV as well, and of course it's available on MSN Soapbox. And for full details of the application, check out Neil's blog post. Edbot has a great post this week about Windows Home Server, and he says Microsoft hits a home run with Windows Home Server. And as I mentioned before, I have to agree with him. The latest build is a big improvement over the last beta, and I've got it fully integrated in my network now. And in fact, I had reason to use it last week. I had a corrupt Cubase file, which is the music software that I use for doing all the music that you hear on the show. And in the past, I would have panicked and thought about how I'm going to recreate it and those kind of things, but with Windows Home Server, it was a question of just me going to a previous backup that I know where the file was good, open the backup up, you get an Explorer view, you can pick the file out and just restore it or just copy it to somewhere, and I was good to go. So that was a really good example of it working. It's the first time I had to sort of restore a file in anger, and it all just worked. So that's really how backup should be done. It's all fully automated, and I think that's exactly how backup should be. So check out the link in the show notes on Edbot's thoughts, and very interesting stuff. Interesting thing this week, anonymous listener sent me in some leaked pictures of a Amora Media Center PC design. It's a nice looking slim case with a slot loading DVD drive and probably what looks like space for a display as well, some vacuum display on the front as well. A nice looking slim Media Center box. It'll be interesting to see what that's like when it's finished, and I like the idea of getting the leaked pictures as well. So if you've got any pictures you want to send in, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, the usual address, and I'll get those on the show. This week Microsoft updated the software development kit for Windows Media Center. I've not downloaded it yet to see the full changes, but Aaron Stevner has a list of the changes on his blog post. There's the Media Center SDK was really good, and I think they've just improved some of the documentation, added some updates of the source code and those kind of things. So if you're a Media Center developer, have a look at that. And finally, one thing from the Digital Lifestyle forums. Matt Ullman asked, I've been trolling through the web and I've heard that the Telcam TCE 2000 wideband indoor aerial works well with normal digital terrestrial TV. And it's only a tenner from Argos. I'd like to know if anybody's experienced trying this out or similar aerials. So Matt's got Media Center running on a HP laptop, and he wants to try an indoor aerial. And I've heard some people had good reports of using indoor aerials. I myself have had no luck with it, but that could be just where I am. So I'd be interested to hear some other listeners' thoughts on that. If you've not got the opportunity, if you've got a laptop and you know, you don't want to hook it directly into, you know, an external aerial, then an indoor aerial will be good if you can get a good signal. I guess a lot depends on the signal quality in your area. Check out the thread on the forums, and if you've had any experience with that, let Matt know. Now time for a message from show sponsor One Voice, and I'm back with Sean Alexander.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Well, Sean Alexander, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ian. Glad to be back.
It seems it's quite a while since we had you on the show, since you've been on the show last time, and a whole range of stuff has sort of happened since we last talked, and particularly around Vista, and we probably not even talked about that on the show with you.
That's right. Well, I'm still addicted to digital media. Shortly after finishing my work on Windows Vista, I heard about a project that was running under the radar over in my old group, which was Server and Tools, which is now known as Microsoft Silverlight, and just had to be a part of it. So my new position is I'm now director of Silverlight Media.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because we saw the announcements at NAB and obviously read all the stuff on your blog as well, and it seems a really interesting sort of whole new area for Microsoft. So first, could you give us a background on what Silverlight is?
Sure. Well, Silverlight is effectively a cross-platform, cross-browser plugin for your web browser. It runs on Mac and Windows PC, as well as in Firefox, Internet Explorer, and Safari, that enables you to deliver media experiences in what are called rich interactive applications inside the web browser. And all that's pushed with a browser plugin that's about 1 meg in size and really blends vector-based animation, graphics, video, both streamed as well as downloaded, and audio, all into a consistent type of experience that really pushes the edge of the envelope of what we think about in terms of Web 2.0 today.
So, like in the past, if I wanted to create some video and I might have some, with a camera or a screen capture, and then put together with even Movie Maker or whatever, a professional video suite. But then if I wanted to combine that with vector graphics and other web content, that's always been sort of difficult and always been separate. So is this what it's about, sort of bringing it all together?
Exactly. I mean, one of the challenges that we've been hearing from customers has been they want to be able to have a consistent viewing experience across multiple platforms, particularly Mac and Windows, and across multiple browsers, and be able to deliver more DVD-like interactivity in terms of those experiences. So one might imagine, for example, if you have a home video, maybe it's a wedding video, you might not want to have sit there and wait for the video to progress to the actual nuptials. You may want to be able to just jump forward. So you should be able to just go ahead and pull up a thumbnail, almost a film strip, almost like you would see in the DVD menu, and jump directly to the chapter point that you want. And that's exactly the kind of scenario, just one of many scenarios that Silverlight is going to enable.
So that's really making the web experience for video content, multimedia content, sort of more akin to, like you said, DVDs and sort of professionally authored products. So it's rather than just being sort of, traditionally what we've got is either you download it or you watch it in some kind of flash player, and that's all you get.
That's right. And like I said, it is about more than video, but for your audience, I think the video is probably going to be the most interesting component. So we do have partners including Avid and Sonic. Both companies have announced support for Silverlight, for specifically their consumer products, their publishing products under the Pinnacle product line for Avid, and then Rock for Sonic. And they're doing some very interesting things already, using the technology to be able to provide greater access and greater interactivity. And one of the beauties of the way Silverlight was architected is that for web developers who are familiar with web standards, they can just go ahead and use their AJAX skills, their tools and skills that they have today, and apply those directly with Silverlight. So it's not going to require that developers relearn how to build these types of experiences. And you know, for bloggers and the like, they can very easily just, you know, take some code, copy and paste, and you know, light up their site.
So it's really going to kind of be a Web 2.0 for the sort of rich media content. So it, rather than like everything being static and, you know, you watch it, you can actually get in there and interact with it, and you've got chapter points and does it mean that you can also sort of, you can mix video, music, text, graphics, and all?
Exactly. You'll be able to do all of those types of scenarios. And one of the tools that we have that's really going to make it easy to do that is a new tool called Microsoft Expression Media Encoder. It's a feature that's actually going to ship as a part of the Expression Media product in the Expression Studio product line. And specifically, Expression Media Encoder is a tool designed for publishing those interactive style experiences with video and publishing it out in the Silverlight platform. So one of the nice things that you can do there, there's two scenarios that I think are really interesting. One is if you're a design shop, for example, and perhaps you have a video shoot that you did and you have a rough cut that you need to get out to a client. You know, the client may be on a Mac, they may be on a Windows PC, but you very quickly want to be able to get that out. And what happens if your shop happens to use QuickTime as their major format? Well, we actually have done the work in Expression Media Encoder so that you can go ahead and bring in QuickTime, you can bring in AVI, you can bring in Windows Media Video, you can pretty much bring in any format that has a properly formatted DShow filter, and basically then plug that directly into Expression Media Encoder, and then output that content using the SMPTE standard VC1 video format, which is also known as Windows Media Video. A lot of people don't realize that we had actually turned over Windows Media Video 9 to the SMPTE standards body. So now it's we have one consistent video format that runs in Mac and Windows and scales all the way from high definition, shipping all Blu-ray and HD DVD drives, all the way down to mobile scenarios.
So there's a bit of a change here. Some people might say that, you know, in the past Microsoft have stuck to their own formats and in some cases invented their own formats. Why is the change here with, you're talking cross-platform for Mac and Windows, and you're talking cross-browser in Firefox and Internet Explorer? What's sort of the thinking behind the change of attitude here?
Well, I think we can separate it into two parts. The first part is if you take a look at the video formats, we had to get Windows Media to a certain level of maturity, both in terms of the file format as well as the capabilities of the compression, before we could turn it over to standards. But that was always our original intent. So in order to engender trust in the community, we knew that we needed to do that, and that's exactly what we did with SMPTE, which stands for the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers. So by having a separate organization that's effectively managing that technology, it can be broadly licensed. The source code's available on a number of different platforms. So if you're running on Linux, you can go ahead and license the platform. If you're running on Mac or Windows, you're able to do that and have been able to do that for quite some time. And I think that's one point that people often miss is that, from a Windows Media perspective, the platform technologies have been openly licensable for quite some time. But specifically to our strategy with Silverlight and going cross-platform, it really comes down to our decision from a server and tools perspective to give our customers exactly what they want. Our customers have told us that supporting the Mac is important to them, supporting multiple browsers is important to them, so that's exactly what we're doing. And our tools will continue to be available for Windows, for doing the primary development, and we actually do have some Mac support with Expression Media as a digital asset management tool. So we recognize that creative shops, designers, and developers are going to work in a heterogeneous environment, and we just wanted to make sure that they're able to use our tools effectively.
Right. I mean, as a content producer, I suppose you want to be able to target as many platforms and technologies as you possibly can. So this is great that you can author it and then know that it's going to be reached on a wide variety of platforms, not just Internet Explorer 7 and on Vista.
That's right. And our approach here is actually something that we're talking about at the conference. Is really to enable not just web standards with Ajax, but we're also going to support more advanced languages such as C#, Visual Basic, and even dynamic languages directly within Silverlight. And that's something that, like I said, we're actually going to be talking more about as a part of the MIX conference, but really gives the the developer community, the you know, the roughly 4 to 6 million developers that are out there building you know, on top of the Microsoft platform, you know, to take their tools, take their skills that they already know for desktop development, and now be able to play in the web pool, while also of course having the flexibility of supporting, you know, Ajax and web standards the way that the, you know, the web 2.0 community wants wants to see that progress moving forward.
So you mentioned the expression tools. This is a new range of products. So what have we got included in there?
Sure. So Expression Studio is a complement to Visual Studio, specifically for designers. So Visual Studio has been out for about 10 years now. It's well established as being, you know, one of the top developer tool packages, you know, for building desktop applications in Windows, all the way down to, you know, building applications for a number of different form factors. So what happened was basically when we were looking at Windows Presentation Foundation and .NET and building that as a part of Windows Vista, we realized that trying to take designers and turn them into developers was not the right approach, and taking developers and trying to turn them into traditionally, you know, trained designers was also not the right approach. So with Expression Studio, it's specifically a suite of four tools specifically focused on the design community. So the tools enable you to basically craft everything from visual elements to controls to entire UI, web, you know, web-based UI, and publish that out in a consistent manner. And again, reusing those same components for the web. So let's say if I make a button, let's say that button has my company logo. I may create that using Expression Design, which is our you know, vector-based illustration tool, and want to be able to use that inside of an application that I'm building for the Windows desktop, as well as for the web. And now for the first time, you're going to be able to do that. So the amount of code reuse that's possible, both from a programming perspective, but also from a design perspective, is something that the industry really has not seen to date. And we're very excited to be able to bring that to market.
That sounds excellent, because as a developer, there's always kind of your tools and your stuff that you use for your Windows development, and then your stuff that you do for the web development, and you never really get too much, you know, crossover between them. So being able to reuse that sounds really interesting. But I think what sounds most interesting about it is kind of the richness that you're going to be able to get from these tools for the sort of the end user experience.
That's right. I mean, taking back the video here for a second, I think that's especially, you know, from the NAB conference or the National Associations of Broadcasters conference that we were at last week, we had people six deep in the booth just wanting to see examples of what we could do there. We were able to show high definition 720p video playing back using just this 1 megabyte plugin, you know, for your browser. So it's a one time install for the Silverlight plugin. And you know, we're able to do 720p on a mid-range laptop, and people were actually, you know, pretty shocked by that, by, you know, the quality and fidelity that was able to offer. So and then when you add the interactivity on top of that, you know, it really takes it to a whole new level. And you know, we're very excited to be able to bring that to the market, you know, here very shortly.
I mean, I think it's the interactivity as well that makes it sound really so exciting. Is that we you know, moving away from just, you know, click play and it just plays all the way through, but to be able to have this interaction between the content and everything else, it sounds like you're sort of taking it to the next, sort of taking video on the web to the next.
Yeah, and level. Actually, Expression Media Encoder is really going to ease that process. So right now, if you're a blogger, you know that, you know, there's a number of websites that trade, you know, blog site templates. You have PowerPoint templates. You know, people often swap those as well. Well, we're taking that same approach with web video publishing with Expression Media Encoder. So we're going to ship about a dozen different templates, where you'll be able to go into the tool. You can go ahead and bring in your QuickTime, bring in your AVI, go ahead and edit it down. You can even add leaders, such as maybe a station identification. You can add a watermark, maybe that's your blog logo or it's your company logo for tracking. And then you're able to go ahead and set markers inside of basically the timeline, just, you know, doing basically a, you know, one click. You go ahead and add the marker, and then you can go ahead and set it in the video stream. Now, what's going to happen is once you publish that out, it's going to publish out a stub HTML page, the JavaScript file, the compressed Windows Media video file or VC1 file, and you know, everything that you need in order to be able to go ahead and basically copy and paste that directly into your website. And the experience that you're going to see is for each of those markers that you created, they become chapter points. So if I have a video blog or a vlog, or if I want to, again, have that DVD-like experience, I'll be able to go ahead and create those chapter points automatically, literally just visually looking at it, clicking it, and publishing, and away you go. So that, we think that that's going to be a big hit, beyond just the community that we're primarily targeting the tools for, which is being able to build these media experiences and rich interactive applications.
So tools like this, you can obviously the media companies are going to be looking at this to be able to produce much more rich video and content and sort of multimedia content on their sites. But you're saying that as well, that someone like me could use it. I do a video guide on something in Media Center, and I can introduce my own chapter points there to make the whole thing a much better experience for the end user.
That's right. You'll even be able to customize them using the Expression Blend tool, which is basically the tool that you use to be able to create the interactivity behind these templates and full-fledged applications built for Silverlight. One of the nice things about this is that we do expect that there's going to be people swapping these templates left and right. In fact, we're building out a website which will launch at Mix called silverlight.net, which will be a pretty broad-ranging community site with all sorts of samples and places for the community to effectively swap their skills and showcase their talents. So we're pretty excited about that. And just from a content perspective, if you take a look at some of the names that have come out with early support for Silverlight, we have Major League Baseball, very popular here in the States. We have Brightcove, who's the founder, Jeremy Allaire, was also the chief technology officer of Macromedia at one point. You also have, if you take a look at what we're going to announce at Mix, so CBS Digital Media is also announcing support for the platform. As well as Netflix, who Netflix in the U.S. has really been kind of a very interesting Web 2.0 poster child. They have a very rich interactive website available today, uses Ajax, it provides application-like functionality, but they still have this challenge of having to ship out shiny disks in the mail and the costs associated with that in order to be able to deliver movies. Now, recently, they took a certain segment of their audience base and started offering them movies on the internet using Windows Media Technologies and the media player that they built. But the big challenge that they've had is that it's only available for Windows today. And consumers, there's a reason why consumers buy DVDs, right, as opposed to just renting them. They want the interactivity, they want the bonus materials and the extras that come along with that, even the little games that are associated with the DVDs. So what Silverlight's going to enable them to do is to be able to deliver a much richer interactive experience, bring in even social networking aspects into the experience, and then, of course, delivering bonus material in a consistent fashion, directly streamed over the Internet to both Windows users, which they're doing for main movie playback today, but also for Mac users. And that's a huge boon for them. And one of the technologies that's actually going to enable that is a technology called Microsoft Play Ready. Which is a rights management or content access technology that was announced about 2 months ago as being available for mobile hands for enabling delivery of ringtones and games and all sorts of additional content. It's backwards compatible with Windows Media DRM, but effectively what we're doing is we're making that available for Mac as well as Windows. And again, I think that's another example of where we're really demonstrating our commitment to cross-platform support. And for those customers that need it, it's an optional component. The content providers want to put premium content out there. The consumers want to experience it, and this is the technology that'll facilitate.
It's going to be great to see what kind of content and how the media companies sort of bring all this stuff together, and something like Netflix, I can see them really being able to make good use of it so that their sort of client application, which in this case is the browser with Silverlight, is going to be a really rich environment and like you said, worthy of sort of premium content and not just a kind of, where traditionally I think a lot of times with web video you tend to think of the 5-minute throwaway Flash videos, whereas what you're talking about here is, you know, quality video, 720p, rich, interactive, and it's all being brought together this way rather than, like I said, just throwaway content.
And we really think the other key thing here is the distribution model for that content. So right now, if you go up to a number of popular user-generated websites, you'll notice that they basically can host the video on any web server, and you'll be able to go ahead and do that with Silverlight as well. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're running, an Apache box. It doesn't matter if you're running a Darwin box or what have you. You'll be able to go ahead and just put the video up on the site, and it'll operate the way the way progressive downloads operate across the web today. But part of the challenge that we're hearing from customers is, especially as you start seeing your content become popularized. So let's say you start off as a startup, you're doing user-generated content, you're just doing a download off the web server. Well, first of all, there's the consumer experience, right? So the consumer experience is that you have to wait for the content download in order to jump to a feature point in that clip. So if I get a funny clip from a friend who says, jump to 2 minutes into the video that something really funny happens, I have to wait for the first 2 minutes worth of content to download before I can actually get to that point. So that's one of the reasons that using a streaming server is really so important. We're finding that in most cases, the average length of a video clip is somewhere around 4 minutes on the web, and only the first 20 seconds is actually viewed by the average user. So if you're just doing a download, boy, you're paying for a lot of bandwidth just to deliver content that people aren't even going to see. So we've done a lot of work in Silverlight to make it backwards compatible with Windows Media Video, as well as with the Windows Media Streaming platform. So if you're using Windows Media Services today, which ships as a part of Windows Server, you're going to be able to immediately start streaming content using Silverlight, but just pointing at your streaming server. Now we're actually going a little further, specifically on the cost of distribution side. By addressing scalability to bottlenecks in the server as well. So right now, Windows Media Streaming and Windows Server 2003 is really the leader in terms of scalability. But we're actually about to double that. So we're announcing that with Windows Server codenamed Longhorn, which will be available in Beta 3 actually imminently, we're also going to enable basically twice the scalability for Windows Streaming or Windows Media Streaming right off of the same box. And some of the ways that we can do that, we can basically lock down the server down into what's called a server role or server core, where the server basically doesn't even have the UI running. I mean, it just completely hardens it down to just delivery of video. And especially as you start thinking about delivering high-definition content on the web, I mean, we're really talking about 2 megabit plus right now to be able to deliver that. The efficiency of the content that you're delivering becomes so important. So that's why we're making significant investments both in terms of creation with Expression Studio, distribution with Windows Server, and then the experience with Silverlight for doing that cross-platform.
Right. So if you're using Longhorn Server and its media server capabilities, what does that give you in addition to using just a regular server? So I've got video on my 2003 box, and if I go Longhorn, what's sort of the advantages that's going to give me?
Sure. Well, the first thing is, if you're running it off of a web server, you're not able to do live streaming. So a lot of customers like Major League Baseball would really like to be able to deliver those baseball games, or you can imagine even cricket matches being made available on a live streaming server. And the cost difference of our solution versus other solutions in the market is a key benefit of the platform, as well as the scalability. Also, when you think about just the playback experience. If I want a DVD-like experience where I can go ahead and jump to any point inside of the video stream, you really have to have an active streaming server in order to do that. So from that perspective, Windows Server codenamed Longhorn is really going to address scalability and performance. But we're also adding a couple of additional features into the platform, both for active streaming with Windows Media Services, as well as for those customers who really decide, I want the simplicity of being able to put a video up on a web server host it off of Internet Information Services 7. So from that perspective, I know we're getting pretty deep into the technology here, but we're actually going to be introducing something called the IIS 7 Media Pack, which will effectively reduce the speed by which content is sent down to the Silverlight client. One way of thinking about it is no longer will you have to try to fill a paper cup with a fire hose. You're able to actually trickle it like it's coming from the tap. So that's a feature that a number of major content providers have been asking us for some time now, and we're adding directly into this new pack.
Right. So if you're looking to stream, like you said, high quality and high volume of data, then this is the way to go to optimize the experience both on for the end user and for the sort of server usage of bandwidth.
That's right, and giving the flexibility of using either more of a passive streaming format where you're just progressively downloading the video off of a web server, like you would download any sort of file, or if you really want to have even greater efficiency and reduce the amount of bandwidth that you're paying for, that's where the streaming server is really going to come in.
Right, I see. Yeah. So it could even be a benefit if someone like me that's running their own server, you've got a limited amount of bandwidth, and I can then look to how I make the best use of that bandwidth for my video content.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there's basically two main costs associated with delivering these richer experiences on the web. The first one is the production cost. So the same way that game development production costs or even movie development are increasing because of special effects and people are coming to the movie theater because they're not just buying a ticket, they're buying an experience. Same holds true of expectations for web experiences as well. So by providing consistent tools for designers and developers to operate in their own craft and collaborate with each other, we can help to offset the cost there. We can help to offset the cost of distribution, specifically with the server, starting just with the retail price of the platform. And then, in terms of reaching a broader audience, that's where the cross-platform, the Mac and Windows and multi-browser support for Silverlight really comes into play.
And do you think then we'll see these technologies being implemented in the Windows client environment? So we're not just talking in the browser, but products like Media Center and other sort of media consuming products that are Windows based, are they going to be able to take advantage of these technologies?
Well, Silverlight is a standalone install. It's basically going to be driven by content in terms of distribution. So it actually comes out of the developer division at Microsoft. And one way of thinking about kind of Microsoft strategy here is, remember about 10 years ago, there was a small group within Microsoft thinking about the internet, and the Bill Gates came out with his internet tidal wave email, and then now the internet is now part of everything that or part of the core strategy of every group within Microsoft. And the same holds true of our digital media strategy here across the company. Everybody from Xbox to Windows to our division here in Server and Tools are thinking about digital media as a first-class citizen in terms of enabling those rich interactive experiences. So from our perspective, we're really focused on the ecosystem, the tools, the platform, the server that enables delivery inside the web browser. So if you're building an application that happens to host the web browser and you want to take advantage of Silverlight, you're absolutely going to be able to do that. But for right now, our strategy is that this will be a content-driven installation.
Yeah, but I can see that the technologies that are coming from this can be used to enrich Windows applications as well as web-based applications. But like you said, by incorporating the tool through the web browser is it an ActiveX controller that gets installed, or is it some other technology you're using to get it installed? Is it using JavaScript or something?
Sure,
like that?
It is an ActiveX control for IE. It's a browser plugin for Firefox and Safari. So we custom tailor for each of those and provide a consistent development environment for each of those platforms. But actually, I think you just touched on something which I think is a key point here, which is that if you look at the vector graphics, if you look at the presentation application that's built in Silverlight, if you were to actually look at the code behind that, it's just XML. It's actually an XML format called XAML, which is the same format that's used for desktop applications built on top of .NET 3.0. So applications like the New York Times Newsreader, the entire UI is basically packaged up as an XML file, and that's that's another, you know, key strength of the platform, is that rather than having these little islands of functionality inside of a website where you can go ahead and personalize the experience, the fact that XAML can be generated on the fly from the server, it's just XML, you can crack it open in Notepad, is really going to offer a whole new level of flexibility in terms of building out these, you know, personalized experiences on the web, where rather than just having, okay, that component is going to be personalized for me, it's the entire application is now personalized for me. It goes far beyond just changing the color scheme on a particular web page. The entire action becomes suited to my particular needs.
I guess you've seen some pretty good usage of the technology. What kind of things are we going to be able to sort of see in making use of all this?
Well, I think you're going to see basically three different types of applications, coming out, or types of experiences. One is, a category of a video player, embedded video player, or media player on a website where the content provider can completely control the branding. And the user experience that's delivered, the interactivity, and of course we're providing templates and tools to help people get started. The second type of experience is really going to be these types of corporate presences, websites where you're promoting your brand or promoting an individual product. So you might imagine that you have e-commerce websites or auction websites where rather than just having a static picture, you have a much richer type of presentation for a particular product or service being offered. And then you also see things like casual games being built on top of the platform, and complete experiences, so movie websites, you might imagine game websites also being built. And then the latter is really where we transcend into full-fledged applications that traditionally have run on the desktop but now run inside of inside the browser. So you might imagine things such as a tax preparation software, where you have drag and drop functionality, where you're doing data manipulation. You might imagine that you have even like video editing applications, where again bringing it back to the whole media aspect. Imagine if you're able to go ahead and basically drag and drop your own personalized video clips, completely assemble your own personal video and then publish it out on the web. In a consistent fashion for family and friends to be able to view. Those are the types of scenarios that we're envisioning. And while we're on that topic, another announcement that we're making at Mix, which I think is really going to delight the community, is we recognize that it can be a bit of a challenge as a startup or as an individual developer to really start to incorporate video into your application or media into your application. So for that reason, we're announcing Silverlight Streaming by Windows Live. This is a new service offering from Windows Live that's going to offer free application hosting for developers, as well as free video hosting off of our own Microsoft network, and enable you to store up to 4 gigabytes worth of content. So that can be a combination of video, audio, and the actual resources, the graphics, the XAML, and the JavaScript that make up your application. So at Mix, we're announcing that technology or that service is going into early release for the developer community to give us feedback on it. And there's no strings attached. It's at some point we may add advertising to it, but for now it's unbranded. There's no advertising associated with it. It's basically a playground for developers to be able to get started.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, so what you're saying there is if you're a developer and you want to get started with Silverlight, you can use this hosting environment to host your video, your audio, your graphics, or whatever, and the tool and the XAML or whatever on there. Using Windows Live Service, so there's no sort of you're not going to worry about hosting it yourself and bandwidth and all this kind of thing.
That's right, and of course there's a lot of work that goes into building out a service like that. So what we're starting off with is video hosting, where you'll be able to go ahead and we're actually going to demonstrate a future release of Expression Media Encoder, which will have publishing support directly into Silverlight Streaming by Windows Live. So you'll be able to go ahead and publish directly into it, and then also we have third-party tool vendors that are building against well. So the idea is that while it's really focused on the developer community, we do anticipate that what we refer to as the builder community or the enthusiast community that encompasses a lot of bloggers will really take advantage of this this solution to be able to go ahead and start embedding embedding their own personalized content, their own branded content directly into their own websites.
So this is something that anybody that's sort of got a that's doing video or media content production could actually take up abroad. So I could, instead of hosting it on my own site as just a static sort of video file, I could actually use the Silverlight Technologies and have that hosted by Windows Live and have that sort of embedded within my own Silverlight application on my website, but all the content is hosted on Windows Live.
That's right, and there are some limitations associated with that. We did talk about 4 gigabytes of storage. We are going to ask that any content that's uploaded is a maximum of 10 minutes in length. Now, of course, you can go ahead and multiple files together in order to create a longer version. But basically what we're doing is saying 10 minutes at length. You can go up to 700 kilobits per second for the actual data rate of the video that's delivered. And you're basically going to be gated by a total maximum bandwidth per individual file. So there's a little bit of a balance that you'll need to take into account there. But the beauty of this is that nobody else is making this type of service available today. It really is focused on the developer community, and as your company grows, as your site grows, and the popularity grows, and your needs grow, it provides a very consistent on-ramp to professional content delivery network, such as Akamai or Limelight, or a large number of different content delivery networks. But really, the way I would think about this right now is it's a playground, for the community to give us feedback, to more easily be able to host and deliver their content using Silverlight and do it in a consistent fashion for Mac and Windows users.
So where would this differ from something like MSN Soapbox? Soapbox is very basic, sort of, here's your file hosted and you've got the browser. What you're talking about here is a much richer environment and for developers to sort of at the beginning to play around with the technologies to see what the capabilities
this
are.
This is specifically designed for those customers that want more control of the experience. So I won't expect my mom to host her content in Silverlight streaming by Windows Live. I'd expect her to go to a site like Soapbox to be able to go ahead and do that. But if I'm interested in actually creating my own customized experience, where rather than using any one particular vendor's branded media client, I can go ahead and create my own, or even create my own application for hosting my videos. That's exactly what Silverlight Stream would enable.
So it's a professional service, not by cost, but certainly it's a professional sort of rich experience that you're delivering, rather than, like you said, just put up your 5 minute clip. It's not that kind of thing. It's the whole experience that you're
going
for.
That's right. I mean, another way of looking at it, or another scenario you might consider, is something like if I'm starting up a real estate company, we're a company that's going to list real estate on the web, and we're a startup, we're a Web 2.0 startup, and we're looking for a convenient way to be able to host those videos in a custom branded experience. Silverlight Streaming will enable you to do that.
I can see a huge amount of potential out there that for people who've got sort of great ideas, but I've never been able to sort of get the technology to be able to do all this. Then you can almost see there can be an explosion of new ideas. Like you mentioned, the real estate, you can envisage a very rich real estate application that previously would only perhaps be able to be delivered by large sort of corporates who've got the resources to do this kind of application. But I can see that a Web 2.0 startup could use these technologies and come up with a compelling application pretty quickly.
That's exactly the plan.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, and I know you put it on your blog, was about the naming of the platform. It was quite interesting because traditionally Microsoft have been criticised for coming up with some might say boring names, but certainly long-winded names. So what's the background on this?
Sure. Well, that was actually my first day on the job. So the team had spent a lot of time looking at a number of different naming options, and we realized that we needed a name that was going to be trusted and friendly, but also kind of embodied the opportunity that that Silverlight offers. So that's effectively where the name came from. During that first meeting, I know, forget it, we basically narrowed it down to a couple different options, and the one that really rang true was Silverlight. So immediately after that, a small team of us went off and started working on the branding. And again, we knew it was going to need to be something that would be approachable, basically the entire internet, which is a bit of a challenge in and of itself. We knew that the code name was horrible, probably the second worst in Microsoft history. WPFE really doesn't roll off the tongue the way you might like it to. But we actually knew that by keeping the code name kind of buried, we could operate underneath the radar and just get the developer community focused on what we were doing. So from a branding perspective, to really unveil the brand, we wanted to create this concept of energy, almost like a plasma, which is held into shape by some unseen force. So it's almost like a magnetic field or something like that, and that's where the logo came from. So if you see it when it's animated, it actually kind of folds over on itself, and while maintaining in the sphere shape, there's not an actual physical skin to the edges. And that we think really embodies kind of the concept of Silverlight, the idea that you can use your existing craft, your design skills and your development skills to really mold it into shape, but the energy, the interactivity is still retained, and that is the web.
Were you surprised by how well the project stayed under the radar with the code name? Because I was aware of the code name, but really didn't. Perhaps hadn't really put the time into look exactly what you were offering. But as soon as the name came out and you got the announcements out, then suddenly you get this huge amount of interest. So were you surprised that you managed to keep it quiet so well?
To be honest, yes, we were very surprised, because that's something that historically has been a challenge for us. But I think part of what helped us there was the code name was affectionately off-putting. In terms of its just the overall appeal, and the other thing is just in terms of our engagement with the community, everybody understood what the value was that WPFE was going to offer, at least the first component, which was Ajax based, and we wanted to be transparent and get the feedback on the platform. But at the same time, even our closest partners didn't know until a matter of hours before we announced the name at NAB. What the name was going to be, and to kind of reassure them, what we would do is a number of us would go out and meet with these partners, and we would actually show them a slide that referred to this thing as and it was a Microsoft logo type, Microsoft cross-plat browser plugin for multiple players or something like that. And what would happen is, half the audience would look at that and just kind of smile and nod, and the other half would just nod, as if that was really the name that we were going to give the technology. So immediately we would go ahead and bring up the next slide, which had an animated version of just the logo without the name, and say, no, this is, we get it. We know that this has to be a cool name, and trust us, we're working on it. And just to give you a little bit of a sneak preview, here's the logo. And that really helped to put a number of minds at ease, and just it's a testament to the engineering team. I mean, everybody knew how important it was going to be for us to keep this quiet, and they did their job, and that was great to see.
Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, like I said, normally the these things come out very early on, but I was impressed by how well that was done. And I noticed on the Silverlight site there's some downloads. So what's in the Silverlight SDK? Is that the Ajax components?
So the Silverlight SDK will include the Ajax components. What we're actually going to be doing is releasing the Silverlight SDK in beta for the beta version 2.0. And that specifically targets Ajax as being, or JavaScript as being the programming layer working directly within the browser. And what we're going to be announcing at Mix is the second component here, which we've been a little bit busy over here. The team is actually going to simultaneously ship an alpha version 1.1, which includes managed code support. So developers who want to be able to use C Sharp, if they want to be able to use VB, if they want to be able to use a number of different languages, they're going to be able to go ahead and pick their language and program directly against this in a consistent fashion, and it is going to run cross-platform on both Mac and Windows. And that's going to be a pretty exciting announcement for us to be able to make a mix.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I'll be able to use my VB skills to be able to go cross-platform and target the web, whereas learning Ajax when you already know VB seems it's a lot of work. So I'll be able to use my existing skills to come out with this kind of stuff. And there's such a huge range of developers that can do C Sharp so well that it seems like a really good idea.
Yeah, and the feedback from the community has been overwhelming that we should move forward with getting the Ajax based functionality out as quickly as possible, the cross platform video playback out as quickly as possible. So that's why version 1.0 is going to come out, and we're not going to wait. We're going to be agile about it. We're going to go ahead and merge that functionality into version 1.1 at a point in the future. But for right now, we want to make sure that the customers can start using this technology as quickly as possible. The reaction that we saw at NAB, winning one of the Best of Show awards, was really a testament to our decision to do that. And we're really excited to not wait until every last individual feature is in there. We're going to get something out there that's going to be stable and reliable and high quality, and people can immediately start working with it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, just putting all this stuff out, and like you said, just getting the stuff out there and so developers can start working with it straight away is great, because I suppose it means that you get the immediate feedback from the developers and from the consumers, and that you can feed straight back into the project.
And that's really what's so important here. Microsoft started in the developer organization. It's the genesis of the company, but at the same time, the division, we understand how important it is for us to have direct relationships with our customers and really understand what their needs are very early in the game. So that's exactly why we put out the community technology previews of WPFE so early, and now are really working to continue that as we go through the platform. It's Mix is the perfect time for us to be able to do this. I mean, Mix is a 72 hour conversation. It's sure you'll get some training, but it really is a two-way engagement, and that's how we're going to build better product is by including our customers directly in the feedback loop as we're building it, as opposed to getting feedback after it's done.
Yeah, it seems a great way of doing it, and I'm sure the developers will take it up much quicker, knowing that they can get involved with that conversation rather than sort of being left right to the very end of the process. I think that's really good, though.
Definitely.
And if I want to get more information, where's the best place to head to find out about all this?
Sure. Well, the best site is going to be www.silverlight.net. So if you're a developer, that's definitely the place to go. That's where the community is going to reside, and we'll have all sorts of goodies and showcases there for people to be able to check out as well. If you're a content professional and you're thinking about the technology and thinking about it for your own solution, we'll also have Microsoft.com/Silverlight, which will have more of a focus on kind of the high level of what is the technology, what does it enable, and then also pointing to a number of different showcases. So, again, it goes back to that point of having a conversation, having a community aspect to what we're working on. Silverlight.net is, shall we just say that we have people working full time on that, just to make sure that we build out all the resources that our customers want and need.
Yeah, excellent. I'll include a link for those in the show notes. And of course, you should don't forget to mention your own blog, SeanAlexander.com, which I find is invaluable for finding out all this information.
Thanks. I think you're actually one of the three readers of that.
I'm sure there's more than that, because I'm sure that your blog is very popular, because it's one of the blogs that I think I've been reading the longest anyway. So I know there's a lot of great information on there, and it's great to see the project developing from your point of view as well. So not just sort of the official site, but from seeing it from a personal point
of view. I certainly appreciate that, and it's an exciting time. We're redoubling our efforts, as you can see here, and I mean we're going to be in Las Vegas. We're better to double down on the web.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just get a sense of feeling from the team that there's a real sense of excitement about this project.
It is. I mean, there is such a youthful exuberance to everything that we're doing that is really just been such an excitement to be a part of.
Well, that's brilliant. And many thanks for taking the time. I know that there's a lot of demands on your time at the moment. Everybody wants to find out about this. So I really do appreciate you taking time to come on the show and talk to the listeners.
Thanks, Ian. It's always fun to be on your show.
Thanks to Sean. Back to a Media Center topic next week. I'll be checking out the Silverlight, and it'd be great to see what some people are doing with Silverlight content. Don't forget the forums and the email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Check out the video show and, of course, the book. Link in the show notes. Go and have a look at the Amazon site. If anybody's ordered the book, please let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I'll see you next week, and I'll play out some music. Bye. We'll be right back.